BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Bucking on town, duck down. Falcons, pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much, touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy and you probably smell. The crooked referees are Roger Goodell. Look, yeah. Like this and I'm a who that. Every day I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning, I'm a who that. This the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that at, where we do that at. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that at. Boogie like this and I'm a who that. This the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the sports coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
All right, man. What's happening, man? Let's get it popping in the mighty Who Dat Nation. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're now rocking with the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys, where we have intense, entertaining, educating, and enlightening sport talk from your favorite sports fam. Shout out to the fam, man. I'm up in this thing. Saturday Night Saints talk. I'm not going to keep you guys very long on tonight's stream. Boy, I'll tell y'all, y'all in trouble if I'm a Baptist minister on Saturday. I tell you what, man. That's right. Don't keep us long. You already know how I'm going, brother. I'm not going to try to keep y'all long tonight. It's Saturday. Eventful Saturday, man. And listen, watched a very excellent boxing match, man. I ain't going to lie to you, man. It was absolutely phenomenal watching the Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk. Matchup. If you guys didn't get a chance to catch that, man, it was absolutely phenomenal. It was awesome. And Usyk was able to get a split decision over Tyson Fury. And it was pretty cool, man, watching that happen, because we witnessed something that we didn't see in a very long time, man, which is pretty much the heavyweight division undisputed unified champion. That's the first time that one heavyweight has held all belts since Lennox Lewis did it like 20 years ago. So it's not an often thing that you would see that, like, when you talk about boxing, the king of all fighters is the heavyweight champion. That's how it seemed. That's how it goes, the traditional thought process. So we watched a coronation of sorts, if you've seen the fight, as Usyk defeated Tyson Fury by a split decision. It was a good fight, too, because early on, Tyson had him, and then he was playing around. He was a little too much play. You got to take care of, but you can't play around with a fighter like Alexander Usyk. That's the whole thing, is they've been underestimating this guy for his whole damn career. And Tyson Fury paid a heavy price. And I was watching the press conference and they sitting up here congratulating. I don't congratulate that guy, man. He played around and did this finesse thing, all that in front of the man. The man beat his ass and won it. He stopped playing around in the ring and handled business like you're supposed to. Well, it cost him. He got his first loss tonight, and they're supposed to do they're supposed to go back at it again in October, middle October sometime. They're saying the 12th or the 13th of October. We'll see how it goes. But it's going to be the same thing. This guy's good. He beat Anthony Joshua. He beats all the people you put in front of him because he's very skilled, you know, and you can't play around with him and do all this kind of finesse game. You're going to get your ass beat. So he lost tonight, and let him stop playing around next time. Don't play. There's some people in this world you don't play with. And he's not one of them guys you play with. But anyway, shout out to the fan. Appreciate y'all being in the stream, man. Me and my son watched that one, man. It was a good fight. But I wanted to kind of switch gears. We're going to talk some football, black and gold football tonight. And I don't know if you guys caught this one. And I had a chance. This came across my timeline a couple of days ago. And I forgot to cover it on the show. I was supposed to cover it on the show. And it just got sidetracked. But it's pertaining to John Gruden. We know that the Saints particularly have a spot for John Gruden once everything goes the way it's supposed to go. And right now we knew that he was supposed to go to court and have a decision on what was supposed to happen going forward. So this is pretty much what happened in terms of his court ruling that, of course, former NFL head coach John Gruden loses his Nevada High Court ruling in the emails lawsuit. So what does it mean? It pretty much means what it means, where the judges ruled that the arbitration that he wanted, he didn't want it to go into arbitration. He wanted to stay in open court. They ruled that it should go into arbitration. NFL has a powerful lobby. They do. They're worth billions and billions of dollars, and they use that billions of dollars. Like, they had this guy up in Mandeville who had a lawsuit against the Saints, I think it was. He had a lawsuit against the Saints a couple of years back. Y'all put one in the chat if y'all remember that. He was suing them about what happened with the NFC. It was something pertaining to the nine call or something like that that happened with the Saints. And everybody, they had a bunch of lawsuits. Everybody's stuff got shut down, but his didn't. His lawsuit didn't get shut down because it was under a certain amount. And it was actually had some steam to go, and he pulled it down. And he said it'll be a distraction on the team, which is stupid. If you're distracted by a lawsuit, you're not a professional. They got stuff going on a lot more difficult in life than a lawsuit. And the old little piddling ass lawsuit wouldn't have distracted anybody. It was just a bull crap excuse for him to pull it down. He probably was paid to do it. But the NFL wins again in this regard, because what it does is it says that it votes that it should go into arbitration. Well, who's the king arbiter in the email ruling? It is the man that he's accusing responsible for leaking these emails. And it's very commonsensical. When you go over the documents, it shows exactly that, you know, it basically rolls out that it was a handful of people that picked through thousands of emails, picked his emails out, and they wanted to get rid of him, and they demonized him. They got his ass out of there, and they were pretty much, and there was investigations that done that pretty much did it. But the NFL wins this one because they vote for it to go to arbitration, and the arbitrator is Roger Goodell, and he will not rule against himself. He will not rule himself guilty of leaking the emails. So, but John Gruden says he's going to still try to fight this thing. Let's delve into this article right here. Former NFL coach Gruden lost a Nevada Supreme Court ruling Tuesday in contract interference and conspiracy lawsuit he filed against the league after he resigned from the Raiders in 21. But it said he will appeal. His lawyers say he will appeal this decision, but it's not over. So the 3-justice panel split 2-1, saying the league can force the civil case out of state court and into private arbitration. That might be overseen by Goodell. And Goodell is the dude that he's saying did it. It's just these people are amazing. Gruden's attorney, Adam Hosmer Hayner, said he will appeal to a full 7-member state high court to hear the case. The panel split decision would leave Nevada an outlier, where an employer can unilaterally determine whether an employee's dispute must go to arbitration and also allow the employer to adjudicate the dispute as the arbiter, the attorney said. Attorney Cannon Shanmugam, I hope I said that right, representing the NFL, declined to comment on the ruling, of course. Gruden's lawsuit filed in November of 21 alleges the league forced him into resigning from the Raiders by leaking racist, sexist, and homophobic emails, and that sent many years earlier when he was at ESPN. The panel majority, Justice Whatever and Christine Pickering, said Gruden expressly acknowledged in his contract with the Raiders that he understood the NFL Constitution allowed for arbitration to resolve disputes. So they're saying contract that he signed says that, hey, guess what, player? You signed this, and you have to understand that by that right, any disputes or whatnot, it has to go to arbitration. See, the NFL has had this to happen before. Well, it gets sued all the time, and it's lawyers that run the thing. It's the same with the NBA. They're attorneys and lawyers. A lot of time, the elected officials, most of them go, you got some doctors, but a lot of attorneys and lawyers. And they understand legalese. They understand contracts and all this kind of non-disclosure agreements. All this kind of nonsense that's going on nowadays. But they understand what's going on, and they know how to end all around it. Plus, they have a NFL has power politically, and they can be able to make things shake if they need to. They can pull strings if they need to, and this is pretty much protecting themselves. As Gruden says, I don't like it, but arbitration will protect the NFL and John Gruden. I mean, not John Gruden and the other guy, the jackass. What's his name? Goodell, the scumbag. They'll protect him. But anyway, that's a bit of news right there. He appealing the decision, and it's the latest on this case. And why is this prevalent to the Who Dat Nation? Because we know once his legal matters are over with, we know that the Saints are interested in bringing Gruden on as an advisor because Derek Carr wants him. And we know there'll be probably like a little special seat there that they'll bring him on to the team eventually. So that's how it is. Okay, so anyway, Gundam says, Q, are you hesitant about the Rattler potential as a franchise QB for future fam? No, I'm not hesitant about him. I think he's right where he's supposed to be. I think he'll be all right. Being picked in the middle of 15 picks into the fifth round will make him play with a chip on his shoulder. He'll play with a chip on his shoulder. And I think that's good. I think that is good. I think he will probably be. He has the potential to be, and it's not really saying much, but this one, I mean, how many quarterbacks the Saints actually drafted that really did anything outside? I mean, when the last guy we drafted did anything for us that represented and it really took the team and they won games? And I can't think of one except for, you have to go all the way back in the day to Archie Manning. The last time the Saints drafted a quarterback that actually meant something. Most of the time we, you know, in recent memory, you think back some of the quarterbacks the Saints have drafted, like Ian Book and Sean Canfield. And I think didn't they get Mark Bulger? And he didn't do nothing for us, but he did for the Rams. He went up there and helped the Rams win. So, I mean, there were quite a few quarterbacks the Saints drafted, but they never turned into nothing. The Saints didn't develop the QBs into nothing. I mean, even if you talk about Chase Daniels, he wasn't somebody they drafted. He was an undrafted guy that they signed here. So, I mean, when is the last time we've seen the Saints draft a quarterback and he turned into a franchise thing? Because that's not a point of emphasis for the team. They always look for veterans or something like that. They're going to free agency and see if they can find a veteran that fit what they need to do, because they don't develop the quarterback well here. Think about it. But I do think Spencer Rattler has a unique tool set in terms of what he can do, and I think he's intelligent, and I think over time he could be somebody that can turn into something if you develop him just like anybody else, you know. All right, shout out to the fam, man. Thank y'all for being here. Much love to the fam. Appreciate everybody, man. Appreciate all of you guys for being in the building, man. Y'all do me a service and hit that like button. Yeah, you're right. Randy said, yeah, they gave Tyson Fury 5 extra seconds. Same thing they did in the Deontay Wilder fight. Tyson Fury messed himself up. Don't play. Some people you don't play with, man. Stop playing, man. Take care of business. You don't play against a fighter like Alexander Usyk. You don't play with the guy. You get in there and get him up out of there. Don't play with him. He was in there playing and putting his arms behind his back and leaning on the ropes like Muhammad Ali, dude. You're not Muhammad Ali, brother. You're not Muhammad Ali. Cut it out. And a dude beat his ass in good form. Next time around, he won't be playing no games like that. He'll take that man seriously. All right, so anyway, let's move into the next one, fam. We're going to cover this, man. This is a interview right here from NFL.com with Cam was on there, man. And I think it's the last meeting that they did with Cam because I think they're supposed to be shutting down Total Access, the show from NFL. They about to shut it down and do something else. TNT's doing the same thing with Inside, with Barkley and all those guys. They've been on TV for a very long time. And eventually, you know, that gets old. You know, and they had a nice little run, but it's time is up. So anyway, we're going to listen to this by Cam. Y'all put one in the chat if y'all can hear this, what Cam was saying about stuff with New Orleans. It was just really interesting and fun. Cam, boy, that dude, there's something else. But y'all put one in the chat if y'all can hit it.
Talk to us about NFL rivals and what you're doing.
Do we have NFL rivals?
Yeah.
There's the Saints and everybody else. What do you mean?
Whoa.
Okay, they say maybe when me and Steve were playing, okay. It was Carolina, it was Steve versus our DBs, but it wasn't Carolina versus us. We're better.
You know, you posted your Senior Bowl picture not that long ago. You look the same, exactly the same. Yeah. Same haircut now.
Yeah. I might be a little skinnier. You know, back then I was running out of 3-4 defensive end spots, so I was probably like 290-ish. Now, you know, I'm like 10 pounds lighter. I might be a little faster than I was back in the day.
With Cam Jordan, you never know what you're going to get. Probably some viral soundbite, but he's drafted by the Saints and been riding with him ever since. He's the team's all-time franchise sack leader. He's also an all-pro defensive end. Cam, welcome in as we celebrate Total Access. You've obviously been a part of the show over the years. It's really special to have you with us as we wave goodbye.
Man, a goodbye sounds so final. Like, that sort of hurts. I mean, I feel like I grew up on the show. I sort of did. I was in my 20s first time I was on it. Now I'm in my 30s. Okay, yeah, I did.
Yeah, Cam. Well, first of all, thank you for being here, man. But you got a new teammate in Chase Young, man. Just talk about how he's fit into that locker room and what it's going to be like having another first rounder on the other side of you.
Another one. I mean, you know, I think Chase Young is going to be great for our defense. We already got Carl Granderson, who's stellar. This last couple of years, I think with growth, him being on the opposite side, when he gets right, help physically, he's going to be another piece that we can add on. At some point in my mind, I'm spinning like it's got to be me, Chase, and Carl Granderson on the field at the same time. Ooh. On a crucial third down. And I'm probably going to have to go in the middle. I don't care. Whatever that takes. I mean, like, I'll line up. I'll be that Za'Darius Smith over the middle, roaming, trying to get active. I think it just adds another weapon to our defense.
I think Cam is right. We kind of said that, too, as they brought Chase Young in. Chase Young is obviously going to be the guy once healthy, starting next to, you know, the other side of Carl Granderson. Granderson is no longer the complement, you know, the third defensive end. He got the big contract. He'll be the starter. And Chase Young is not a complimentary guy they're bringing in to bring off the bench for Cam. They want Chase to be the starter and Cam comes off the bench. So, you know, that and him, Cam, kicking inside, it would be a good move, you know, and I think probably at this stage of his career, probably be one of the best bets. And it also hedges, putting him in a rotation with other guys, man, kind of keeps him fresh as well. And I don't think the Saints overuse Cam over years. Remember, you can go back 3 to 4 to 5 years when they had Cam on rep counts. Y'all remember that? Where he would complain about this, like, man, let me go. Let me play such and such, such and such. He would complain about that. So they didn't overuse and abuse Cam Jordan over the years. They really didn't, to be honest with you. So this should help Cam, even though I can understand at this stage he wants to mash out. But after that tough year last year, I guess he can't argue too much about, you know, what's going on here. To be honest.
Well, speaking of that defensive front and you guys getting after some quarterbacks, there's a new quarterback to sack in the division. Congratulations, Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. You now have to face this guy amongst Chase Young and some others on that team. You ready to give him the Matt Ryan treatment? You're going after him day one?
Yeah, I think I've sacked him at his two previous teams. I'm pretty sure I sacked him when it was at Washington. I for sure know I sacked him at the Vikings. So, I mean, new quarterback, or maybe the newest quarterback will be somewhere in the season to add in a Michael Penix Jr. I don't know their situation. Where you spend a top 10 draft pick on a quarterback, I don't know what you do with there. You know, am I just going to add fuel to the flames? Why not?
Oh, see, that's the viral soundbite. That's the viral soundbite I was talking about. You're saying some quarterback controversy down the line in Atlanta. We'll have to check in midseason on that one. But NFL teams got their schedules on Wednesday, and you took to social media because you were not too happy with the powers that be, because you have two cold games towards the end of the season.
You need to stop.
Versus the Packers and Giants. You've been playing for 14. Then you're entering your 14th season. Come on now. Cold game is fine.
Yeah, you know what? And it took me 12 years. It took me 12 years to play my first snow game.
Oh.
And after playing in a snow game, yeah, I was like, you know what? This is as advertised. This is trash. Like, cold games, they're not cool. Like, for the fans, for the game, I want to see your best 11 versus my best 11. And you know what we're not at? We're not at our best when it's negative 20. They went over the intercoms. It was like, hey, everybody come down to the lower bowl for warmth, for body warmth. And I'm like, wait, people are dying? People are freezing? I shouldn't be here. It inspired me mid-game to like, pack up the fam, go to Spain in the offseason.
Stop it, man.
I was mentally scarred.
Man, come
on,
dog.
Now we got the Chiefs late. We got Green Bay late. And we got the Giants late. What are we doing?
You finish in Tampa in Florida. You'll be fine.
Exactly, man. A defensive lineman talking about weather. Come on, man. You better than that, Cam. But, hey, it's all good. It's all good. Talking about that schedule, you do got your former head coach coming into the stadium week 7. Talk about that game against Sean Payton.
It's not like I got it circled already. October 17th is Thursday night game on Prime Video or whatever. But, like, I don't really know the exactly what's going to happen. I figure the Saints are going to go marching into the dome and get a W. But, like, that's what I expect every week. So if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be surprised. And when it does happen, I'm going to be as advertised. I assume that we are fighting, grinding, lifting weights, running with each other, building camaraderie now with the team. To be the best version of the team we can be come September. So by the time we even get to October, we're going to be rolling.
Oh, so you're good. No worries as Sean Payton marches back into New Orleans after all those years coaching you up. Cam, as always, it's so fun. You always give us a smile and a laugh. Thank you for joining us here on Total Access.
That's Cam, man. Always find a little entertainment, man. Shout out to Cam Jordan, man. I know the Saints are going to be motivated to beat Sean Payton, man. I think that's the game they got circled. The Raiders game is another game. But like I said, when I did the schedule breakdown show a day or so ago, I went over it. I started the show by saying it's two different views I'm looking at. One view is I'm looking at it as, let's say, the Saints solved the biggest issues that they had last year, the lack of leadership, the accountability issues on offense. Right. Let's say that Clint Kubiak lives up to expectation and he does what he's supposed to do. He's not 100% perfect, but he does enough to get the offense going. That's how I did my first count. And then I came back around and said, after I did the first prediction, I think it was 10 wins. I said, if they do what they're supposed to do, they should be able to get 10 wins. And then the off code, if they can't fix the issues, I'm looking at 6 to 7 wins. So it dropped by a couple of wins there. But there are some wins in the schedule that if the Saints handle their business, they should be able to get. But like that Sean Payton game where he's coming back down here, the Raiders game, those should be games that the Saints should win. We said should, but you never know with the black and gold, especially the current black and gold. They don't always do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. And that's been the maddening part about it. So, yes, indeed. Some of the family members saying, Black Major said they got the let me see if I can find the right button here, man. With the there it is. Yeah! Oh man, but yeah, that's what it is, man. They got a show. And anyway, let's move on to the next item right here, man. I got 3 items I wanted to go over with you. The last one, this is somebody sent me this. I forgot who it was. Sent me a link to this video here about Scott Chandler, a former linebacker of the Saints. He had an interview on Bobby Hebert's show, and pretty much what they were saying on Bobby Hebert's show is, you know, they were talking about is Carr, is people being too hard on Carr? Are the Saints in the Who Dat Nation being too hard on Carr? Now, listen, I've been a member of the Who Dat Nation for a long time. A long time. I know a lot of Who Dats out there. Like I said, we've been doing this for a while. I talk to a lot of people. And the majority, I got to be fair, the majority of the Who Dat people that I know, that I talk to, are pretty intelligent. They're pretty respectable. They know what they're talking about, and they're well-rounded people. They're meaning they're well-rounded, not in just sports, but in entertainment, in life, and majority of them are successful in what they do. So with that being said, when they talk about the Saints, they don't talk about it like somebody ain't got no sense. They're very commonsensical. They're grounded in the history of the team. They understand what the team did last year. They don't believe everything that the propaganda mills who operate with the team do when they don't criticize the team and they try to get you to go along because they get paid to get you to go along, if you get what I'm telling you. But in the end, they always tip their hand one way or other. And when you think about that and when you put everything together, that's why the Great Saint Think Tank is so effective in what they're saying, because they're highly intelligent people, big time. So when you hear all the Who Dats hear this, they're not saying they don't like Derek Carr just because his name is Derek Carr. You got to be doing something to not be liked, for people not to like you. You know, so we're not going to play this guessing game of why everybody don't like this guy, why everybody don't. No. Reason why people don't like you is because you're doing something that's making you unlikable. You know, it's just what it is, man. And people seem to forget that. But thank the Most High that we have platforms that can remind the people and be able to kind of put that extra game out there. But anyway, let's listen to this piece right here, fam. And this will be the last thing I go over with. And y'all feel free to chime in the chat. Here we go. Put one in the chat if y'all can hear.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. So when you're playing, that's kind of the way you look at it. But, you know, when you play in the dome, the one thing you're going to do is you're going to see, are we going to Lambeau? Are we going to New York? Are we going to those places in December? Are we going to play any snow games? Where are the elements going to be like? Early on in the year, you're seeing, do I go to Tampa Bay? Is it going to be 120 degrees? You're kind of looking at those weather games when you play in a dome and how the elements will affect you. And then obviously you're looking to see how the NFC South breaks down, how you're playing your divisional opponents. I think those are the most important things.
And, you know, Scott, you know, it's like you almost have to take the mentality or have a chip on your shoulder. It's like, oh, they're going to be the same old Saints. They're going to be hovering around 500, 8-9, 9-8. How about you prove it differently? I mean, the fans aren't optimistic. Well, make them optimistic. I remember how magical it was just the Saints never having a winning season. And all of a sudden, they never won 9 games. Okay, look at the great Archie Manning. They never won more than 8 games. All of a sudden, in 1987, won 9 games in a row. And then the adversity with the strike and all that, we only played in 15 games. We ended up finishing 12-3. No one thought we would do anything before that year. So that's when, as a player, you can control and you have to almost take pride in your craft. And that if you have an opportunity, well, if the fans aren't optimistic, we'll make them optimistic. Like, oh, I don't know, Derek Carr, what he's going to do, and Dennis Allen, all. Well, that's a challenge for them because the fans are going to show up if you win. And you are on this show even if you don't win. But if you truly want them to be in that number and to be excited about the season, well, you control that as a player. And that's where you got to take pride. And that, listen, you're highly compensated, and listen, you know, I'm all for money, but then it goes more than that, because once you play, it doesn't matter what you make and how you're competing, and have a little pride to bring back truly when you were a part of, and Sean Payton and Drew Brees, how the expectations were, I just hope we get back to the playoffs, or you know, can we get the double-digit wins? It was like, no, can we represent the NFC in the Super Bowl? I think that once you achieve that and you were a part of that and winning a Super Bowl and all that, you can't go backwards. That's why, you know, fans say, oh, I'm ready to put the bags on the head. No, them days are over.
Yeah, please stop that.
Once you have winning seasons and you're a champion, no.
No. See, I was agreeing with everything you said up until that point.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.